chapter 26, in verse number 1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Scripture, Lord. I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture, and helped me as a young man, and helped me to remember the ways of my father, Lord. Remember the ways of my grandparents, Lord. Remember the ways of the great men. And Lord, I pray that we could use some things tonight from this to help us as a church family for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A preacher, a doctor, and a lawyer all went hunting together. It's hunting season, so I figured I got to talk about hunting a little bit. But they all went hunting together in the same area and kind of surrounding a field together, making sure they got all corners of it kind of covered. And if anything came through there, one of them would get it. Well, out came the monster buck. Came out there, and boom, shots went off. And the deer was killed, and all of them went out there, and all of them claimed, all three of them claimed, that they killed the buck. That was their buck. Boy, friends were no longer friends. All of a sudden, they were fighting, arguing with one another, because whose house will this monster buck sit in? Where will it hang? They were arguing with one another back and forth, back and forth. Finally, they called up the game warden to come help them determine who actually shot this buck. Game warden came out there and he said, "Well, give me a minute. Give me some time. I'm going to examine this. I'm going to examine everything. Where'd y'all shoot from? Okay, you shot from there. You shot from there. Okay, how was the deer standing? Where was he at? Where was he standing at?" And boy, he examined everything, looked at it, came back about 20 minutes later. And he said, "I figured out who killed the deer." They said, "Okay, who killed it?" He said, "The preacher killed it." He said, "How in the world did you know that the preacher killed this buck?" He said, "It's pretty simple. It went one in one ear and out the other ear. It was definitely the preacher." Us preachers deal with a lot, amen? So I said that tonight, so hopefully that doesn't happen tonight, all right? Hopefully it goes in one ear and stays in one ear, all right? But the Bible says here, go to verse 26, or chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "And there was a," say it with me, one word.
Famine.
"There was a famine in the land." At this point, Abraham is dead. And in chapter 25, Abraham dies. And then in chapter 26, we're about to find out what God is going to do. You see, when God's man dies, God doesn't die. When God's man dies, God's promises don't die. And Isaac, his son, is now on the scene. And his son seems to be all alone. His mama has died. His daddy has died. He's married. He's trying to raise these two twin boys together. And he's trying to do his best. And all of a sudden, a famine arises in the land. And when the famine comes, when the drought comes, praise the Lord arrived and spoke to Isaac. And Isaac heard the Lord. Aren't you glad when you go through a famine or you go through a drought? I'm thankful that I get to still hear the Lord. I'm thankful that he's still there no matter what I go through in my life. And he was there for Isaac. And when the famine comes, when this drought comes, and God speaks to Isaac, verse number 2, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." The Bible, Isaac got a divine direction from God. And he said, "Do not go to Egypt," in a famine. Why should he not go to Egypt? Well, if you go back to previous years, Abraham went to Egypt. And if you remember, Abraham went to Egypt and didn't make some good decisions there in Egypt. He got into some sin and had a son with a handmaid there and did some things. And this son had this son by the name of Ishmael there in Egypt. And that son, Ishmael, we're still dealing with the results of that still to this day. And then he also brought his nephew Lot with him. And remember, Lot went with him and got his eyes on wickedness and worldliness and pleasures of sin. And he came back and sold his life and his soul and his family for the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. So bad things happened in this family in Egypt. So God gives Isaac divine direction and says, "Do not go to Egypt in a famine." You know what happens in our churches is we go through famines. Do we have people saved in every service at Blessed Soul Baptist Church? No. Oh man, I wish every service was like a food truck Sunday and hundreds of visitors were here all the time and people were getting saved left and right all the time, new people in the doors left and right, but not every day is like that.
Right.
Some days there's famine in our church. Some days the buses aren't filling up like they were last Sunday or the Sunday before. Man, this month's been a rough month. I'm working and I'm laboring and I'm just not seeing results like I was last month or 2 months ago. Man, my Sunday school class is low. What's going on? Why are people not coming? Boy, no one's making decisions when I preach or when I'm teaching. Like, what is going on? We experience as a church a famine. As an individual, we experience famine in our own personal life. I wish that our lives, the Christian life, was just all hoorah. Everything was great, always just boom, things are happening. Man, it's awesome. But there are some times in our life where we go through famine. I want to show you tonight when God's man dies, God doesn't die. He just doesn't. Aren't you thankful for that? There's been a lot of great men throughout history. There's been a lot of great men in Baptist history that have helped make sure that you have a King James Bible in your hand today that have passed down the things that you have been taught today. Somebody that stood for truth, stood for right, made sure to teach and preach the hard things from this book so it got to you. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the gospel didn't stop with my grandpa. I'm thankful that he passed it on to my dad. I'm thankful that my dad, who almost went into the world, almost got into country music and singing in that world, I'm thankful that he decided one night to go to Bible college instead of Nashville. One decision. I just talked to my dad just the other day about it, just a couple days ago when he was here. We're talking about it. And how drastic of a life his life would have been. I wouldn't be here. He would have not met my mom. My mom was at a Bible college, but my dad went from almost going to Nashville with a group, country western group, to deciding overnight because of a praying mama who prayed for him and wept for him and cried. And he said, I don't know how to this day, but somehow she convinced me to go 1 year of Bible college. And he went to 1 year of Bible college and God completely changed his life. I'm glad that the gospel didn't stop with my dad. I'm glad that biblical principles didn't stop. I'm glad they made their way to me. Are you thankful tonight? There's people in your life who worked hard to make sure that the teachings and preachings of the Bible got to you. I'm thankful for that. I want to show you tonight what God did in this life of Isaac and how Isaac responded in this situation. To me, is key for those of us, especially in this room tonight, who are younger. But I believe it applies to everybody in this room tonight. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 says, "And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man," talking about Isaac, "and his wife shall surely be put to death." And then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You see, my dad's been preaching the gospel now for over 40 years. My grandpa, both grandpas on both sides of my family, my mom's dad and my dad's dad, both preached. They pastored over 50 years each, and then they each preached because they kept preaching after. They preached before they became pastor, and they preached after. They both preached over 60 years of their life. That's all been passed down to me. I've been given a goodly heritage. If you've been given a goodly heritage, would you raise your hand tonight? You've been given a goodly heritage. God's hand was on my grandpa's life. Man, there's so many stories of them that I've heard through the years of just opportunities where they could have quit or they could have compromised or they could have gone a wrong way, and battles that they had to fight all along the way before I was ever thought of, before I was ever born, battles that they fought to keep their church the right kind of church, to keep using the King James Bible, not change Bibles, to keep their music the same way and still sing the same old hymns. And I think about the battles that they went through a long time ago, but when they died, God didn't die with them. God's still alive. The God that they served is the God I serve today. The God of your grandpa and your grandma is the God that we still serve today. Maybe you have a great grandma or great grandpa that passed a goodly heritage down to you. That God that they serve is still alive today. Go to verse 14. It says, "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Back in chapter 20, Abraham, the father of Isaac, had made a deal with this same king of the Philistines. And now Abraham had leaves a famine, and he finds a place where him and his family can at least eat and drink and at least prosper in some way. And God's hand of blessing falls on this man, and they get jealous. They get envious. The world does not like it when you're blessed by the Lord.
Right.
The world does not like it when they hear you talk about the Lord and how if you live for Him, how He blesses your life, and then they see Him blessing your life. They envy that.
Yes.
They don't like that. They can't stand it. And the people here, the Philistines, were envious of Abraham and Isaac. And God's blessing was on them, so they get jealous and they're envious. And now they're pushing him out into a deserted and desert place in the midst of a famine. So they're going through a famine, and now they're pushing them out because they're being blessed. God's blessing them, and they're pushing them away, pushing him out into a desert place in the midst of a famine. They hated him so much, they wanted him to die. They despised Isaac so much. Even in the midst of a famine, they went and filled the wells of Abraham. So Abraham dug some wells back when Isaac was a kid. Dug those wells up, man, found water, and blessed their family for many years. God provided for them. And you know what the enemy did? The Philistines filled up those wells. Filled them up with dirt. Filled them up with earth. So they couldn't be used anymore. I want to preach to you a message tonight entitled, The Old Wells Still Work. The Old Wells Still Work. We're going to see tonight what Isaac did with those old wells. The wells are still there. The things that have been taught to you, they're not new. They have been around for a long time. And guess what? We don't need anything new. We've got the Bible that's lasted through centuries, and it's still the same, has the same God. We serve the same God who's always been the same, never changed. You know who changes? We change. But we don't need to change towards this world. We need to change to get closer to Him, get closer to His book, and live life more like His book. This picture here we find in Genesis chapter 26. Abraham had dug wells in the desert. You hear what I said? In the desert he had dug wells. And they were symbols of life, provision, and blessing of God. But when Abraham died, the Philistines had filled up these wells. See, the Philistines were enemies of God's people.
Right.
They were enemies of God's people. And they came and filled these wells up. Isaac, Abraham's son, faced the same dry land that his father faced. The need was the same. The water was still there, but the wells were blocked. And Isaac made a wise choice. Instead of digging new wells or searching for something innovative and something great new and some great program, he decided to go and re-dig the old wells. Charles Spurgeon said, the old wells of our fathers never fail. If they seem dry, the fault lies not in the well, but in the dirt we've allowed to fill them. You see, today the same is true in the church. The wells that once ran with life, prayer, holiness, the preaching of God's word, standards, evangelism, faith, separation from the world, it's still the same today. We are not to be like chameleons and adapt to this world and get closer to this world. We are supposed to get closer to the book. And the more we get closer to the book, guess what? We should be the same as our grandparents were. The teachings that were taught by Robert Ross 52 years ago and 45 years ago and 30 years ago should still be taught and preached at Blessed Hope Baptist Church.
Amen.
The old wells still work. We live in a day and age that glorifies new. New churches, new methods, new Bibles, new music, new theology. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the old wells still work.
Amen.
The power of God has not changed. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
He doesn't need us. He doesn't care if the world changes. We're not supposed to change with the world. The Bible still stands. Prayer still moves mountains. The gospel still saves. Holiness still matters. Faith still pleases. The water is still there. It's just buried beneath the dirt of this world. The wells that our fathers dug should be redug. Well, who should they be redug by? Me? By you?
Yep.
By the next generation? And by your children? And by their children? Number one tonight, the wells that were stopped. The wells that were stopped. If you go to verse number 15, it says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. They had filled Abraham's wells because they envied his blessing. Stopping a well is like a declaration of hostility. I mean, it's like declaring war on somebody. They're living in a desert. You have to have water to survive. We've gone through famines or we've gone through droughts here in America, but it's nothing like what they experience. Boy, we go through a drought for a few months. Guess what? There's still Kool-Aid in your fridge and there's still sweet tea there. But what these people went through, Isaac's wells getting filled, was a terrible thing that happened to them. The Philistines represent the enemies of God, and those forces, both physical and spiritual, that seek to choke out the blessing of God in your life, want you to change. Because if you can become closer to the world, the enemy knows the blessing of God will come off of your life. And they were tired of seeing the blessing be upon Abraham and his seed. They're tired of it. They're annoyed of it. He's still filling wells today. The well of prayer is being filled with busyness. The well of holiness is filled with compromise. The well of truth is filled with watered down preaching. The well of evangelism is filled with comfort and fear of rejection. The well of faith is filled with doubt and discouragement. Matthew Henry wrote this: "It is the subtle work of Satan to fill the wells of salvation with earth, worldly cares, lusts, and pleasures to keep souls from the living water." So it's with our spiritual lives, the water is there. God hasn't changed, but sin, distraction, and compromise have blocked the flow. You understand what I'm saying tonight? They've blocked the flow. We're in a famine in America when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to God's word. You say, well, there's churches all over the place. Are they churches? Are they God's churches? Or are they just churches? Because if they're not preaching God's word, if they're not preaching truth in this word, if they're changing this word, if they're not following it, then they're not God's churches. Right. If Blessed Hope ever gets to a point, we're not doing that, we're no longer God's church anymore. Right. A historic church in Georgia once had powerful revival meetings. Souls were being saved, marriages were being healed, lives were changed, but over the years, they softened their message to please the people. The prayer meetings had stopped, music turned worldly, the services became a show. Within a decade, attendance dropped by half. One deacon made this statement: "We still have the same building, but the wells have gone dry." You see, it's not this building that makes the church. It's you and me. It's you and me that make the church. And when we follow this, God builds the church. God brings people in the door. God gives us opportunities to lead people to the Lord. But you see, the wells have to be followed. The wells have to. I remember hearing my grandpa preach and all the things that he would preach all the time and all the stories that he would talk about. And all the people that helped pass on to him and the Bible college that he went to and all the truths and principles that were taught to him growing up and how he carried those on. Boy, it goes back farther and farther and farther and farther and farther along. You see, nothing is new under the sun. Everything that the churches are doing today was already once done, just in a different way. We read the Bible and you read all these different churches and all the different problems that they had. It's the same things going on in churches today. It's just a new way. And yet we've got independent Baptist churches who are trying to adopt these new ways. I wrote this down: when the church replaces truth with trends and power with programs, the water stops flowing. What are we looking for, church? What are you looking for, Christian, as an individual? What are you looking at on social media and seeing other people, other Christians, other churches do that you wish you were a part of? Is it all show and glamour? Because social media is all about the show and glamour. There's not much real on social media. I hate to break it to you. People don't post the real stuff they're going through. It's just, oh, my life is perfect. And boy, us Christians, we think we're in a famine. We think, oh my goodness, I'm going through a drought because my life's not like them. Their life just seems perfect. Do you actually know them? Do you know what they're going through? Because if you fill your whole day up with social media, boy, you're going to get discouraged real fast. Real fast. Application: the first step to revival is to admit Our wells have been stopped. Identify what dirt is filling your well. What dirt is filling your well? It may be sin, bitterness, distraction, or complacency. I wrote this down. Revival begins when you say, Lord, I'm tired of dry religion. I want living water again. I want living water. I like this part here. Go to verse number 18. It says, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names which his father had called them. Boy, I can picture one day Abraham walking out when Isaac was a young man, and they're looking out, looking for where to dig a well. And Isaac's there as a young boy with him, and God blesses Abraham, and he digs somewhere, and his son helps him dig that well, and all of a sudden, boom, water. Can you imagine in a desert, digging away, and all of a sudden, boom, there's water. You just don't expect it to happen. But boy, Isaac got to see as a young boy, man, the hand of God was on my dad, and wherever he dug, God blessed that. God directed my dad, and now Isaac is older, and now Isaac has men that work for him, and Isaac has his sons, and Isaac said, hey, we're going to go where daddy was, where dad, my dad dug, we're going to go back to those wells and what he did, because he knew where the water was. God showed him where the water was. If it's there then, it's still there today. Let's go back and redig those wells, boys. You know what happens? They go back and they redig those wells. You know what they find? Water. You know what the Bible says? Wells of water. Wells of water. I can say there's a huge crowd of Christians today who are turning towards the world left and right. Left and right. There's a crowd that sticks their finger up in the air and just, man, whatever's the most popular thing at that time, we're going to go that direction. We're going to listen to whatever they're doing. Whatever that church is doing, I ask past friends of mine who have changed and compromised, why? Why do you do it? I have friends who, their grandpa was a pastor. Their grandpa stood for the old time ways. And now they're changing. Well, they've got purple lights, or they've got the music groups all spread across and just praise and worship and completely changing the old wells. They don't want the old wells anymore. They want the new ways. They're looking for a new path. I'm saying, why? Were people not saved when your grandpa was a pastor? Were people not saved when your grandpa went to church, your grandma went to church? Were they not saved? Did people not go to church? Did God not bring people to church back in those days? The answer, well, yeah, he did. Yeah, but things are changing. No, yeah, the world is always changing.
Yes.
But the old wells are still the same.
Yes.
The old wells are still there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to change with this world. I want, give me the old wells.
Right.
Give me, I don't want a new path. I want God's way.
Amen.
And his way never changes.
Right.
We see there, number two, the work of redigging. The work of redigging. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the churches of today will tell you that it doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter how you dress, doesn't matter what you listen to, as long as you love Jesus, everything's okay. Because, boy, we live in an age of grace. That's not why my grandfather fought for what he fought for. That's not what the Bible that I read is not that Bible. The God that I serve didn't talk like that. Where are you getting that from? People can't even open up their Bibles and show you, scripturally speaking, why they do what they do.
Right.
If the pastor teaches it, they just won't believe it. Or if the pastor does it or the pastor allows it in a church, is that the only reason we should believe something? No. We believe what the Bible says. Whatever the Bible says. Man, it saddens me that good people that I knew, that I've known, are in a church that is changing. And the average Christian just says, guess that's what we're doing now. That's what the majority of churches are doing now, so I guess we're just going to do that. That's why most people are making their decisions today. Because they get on their phones, and they see on social media all the people they went to college and all the church, all the people that they follow. Man, they're changing. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, wow, their church is doing that. Am I like the only one still holding true to the things that were taught to us when we were younger? I don't want to be like the only one. Man, I'm going to start changing. I'm going to go to Egypt.
Come on.
That's what a lot of churches are doing today.
Yep.
A lot of churches. Man, I just want to warn Christians tonight. Don't stick your finger up in the air. Which way is the wind going? What's everybody doing? Usually God's way is not the popular way. It's just not. It's not the most popular thing to serve the Lord. Satan's ways are usually the most popular way. I talked this morning about the devil and his attacks upon our life, and his temptations, and how subtle he is. Boy, if he can just change the church, change the Bible up. Boy, the new Bible that all these churches, independent Baptist churches, are wanting to use is the ESV version. It's wicked, terrible. Don't fall for that junk.
Right.
And they think, oh, it's just to make it a little bit easier to understand. It's the devil being subtle. Sly as a fox.
Yep.
Boy, he just wants to come in there, just change it a little bit.
Come on. Remember
when this morning we talked about how he twisted the Bible, the scripture up? Just a little bit. And Jesus came back at him with the truth and with "it is written." God gave us the old wells. God gave you people in your life who fought hard, who preached the unpopular thing. There's churches, I've listened to many preachers, people that I looked up to at one point, and their preaching, man, it was on fire for the Lord. Man, it was good preaching. Preaching whatever God led them to preach out of the Bible, they used to preach. Then they started realizing, whoa, lots of churches are changing. Lots of pastors are changing. Lots of my friends are changing. Now I go listen to their messages. It feels like I'm hearing them preach the exact same message over and over, just wrapped in a different package. Man, you just serve the Lord with your life. Just love the Lord. God will take care of you. Love the Lord. And it's like the same thing over and over. Don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about how you dress. Don't worry about the music that you listen to. It's just constant, nonstop. Christians are changing left and right. Christians are leaving churches because they're watching a preacher or a pastor on YouTube preach on something that goes contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what their pastor's trying to teach them. And what happens? They're out of church.
Come on. Right.
They're trying hard to pull us away from the old wells. They're filling up the old wells.
Right.
The old preachers of the past, what they used to teach, it doesn't work today. It doesn't work today. I'm here to tell you, the old wells still work. The old wells still work. The church doesn't need a new message. We need to redig the old one. The gospel doesn't need modernization. It needs a proclamation. We don't need relevance. We need repentance. You see, Isaac's digging, it wasn't glamorous work. Digging a well. Anybody dug a well before? All right, some of you have, all right? It's not glamorous work. It's not some of the type of job probably anybody is like, man, sign me up. Give me a shovel. I want to do that. That sounds like a blast. It wasn't glamorous work, but it was necessary work. The water was there. He just had to clear the way. Redigging takes effort. It's dirty work. It's repetitive, but it's fruitful, and it's always worth it. It's always worth it. I don't know about you, but living God's way is the best way.
Amen.
Man, I'm just happy. Man, there's some things that I have to change or give up in my life. But man, I never regret it. The more in my life I'm trying to be holy and become more like Him, man, the happier I get.
Amen.
The more pure I feel in my life, the more that I'm giving up. But that's not the philosophy anymore. The philosophy is, what can I get away with as a Christian? What is it okay that I do as a Christian? Rather than, what can I do to get rid of in my life? You see, when you look at your life full of a bunch of junk that needs to get out, you live a whole lot holier.
Yeah, right.
But when you live a life trying to find in Scripture, what can I get away with? What can I do? And you find a little verse or something, and you say, yeah, see, I think that's okay. I can do that. I can get away with that. Every person I've ever seen that tries to change their dress standards or their music standards, they always tell me every time, you know, oh, we're just doing this. We're just changing up. Just all we're doing is this. We're just changing this part of me. Oh, in all personal life, we'll listen to this kind of music, but not, you know, not at church or here. You know, they justify it. They won't open up a scripture verse and show me, but, you know, that's just what we're doing. You know how long that lasts? Very short time. Very short time. You know, I'm very transparent. In my college days, I never heard Southern gospel music. I'd never heard contemporary Christian music really growing up. I was kind of kept away from all that stuff. But I went to college. Man, I started getting introduced to some kids who were secretly listening to this kind of music on their own, on the side. And man, I got wind of that, and I heard some of that in the car with somebody. I said, I like that. Man, that is good right there. And I started seeing videos of these other singers. And man, that started appealing to my flesh. Man, I'm a singer. I want to go sing like those guys. That looks fun. And that my eyes started being tempted, my ears started being tempted for that way. You know what happened? That music started coming into my life. How can I get that? Where can I listen to that? Man, get me some of that. Put that on my computer. Put that on my phone. Man, I want to listen to that secretly when no one's listening, when no one's watching. Man, I remember at my freshman year of Bible college, falling for the devil's trap and getting that music. You say, oh, it's Christian music. Oh, it's the devil's music mixed in with Jesus. That's all it is. Just mixed in together. You see, God's ways are not his ways. They're opposite. Complete opposite. You should never mix them. But that's what contemporary Christian music has done. That's what Southern gospel music has done. I was listening to that music, and you know what I got a taste for? All of a sudden, that wasn't satisfying anymore. I wanted worldly music. All of a sudden, well, that doesn't have a bad word in it. Man, sounds okay. There's nothing dirty in there. I want to listen to that. It's the same instruments, the same sound. Man, that sounds great. And before long, within a short period of time, a son who had grown up in a pastor's home, and all of a sudden was protected by all these things, given a little bit of freedom, and I allowed all these things into my life. The temptation got to me. You know what? It was affecting my entire life. It was affecting everything. My attitude at college was terrible. I was dating the wrong person I should not have been dating. I was getting demerits. It was affecting everything. I wasn't involved in ministries like I should have been involved in. It all of a sudden became a chore. Oh, I have to go and put in this many hours to go and work on the bus or do this. Everything in my life changed because music. If there's somebody that you're ever going to hear talk that thinks music is super powerful, you're looking at him. Because I've experienced how powerful music is. I think if you walk by someone's car and you can't tell what kind of music they're listening to, that's what I tell you right there, what kind of music it is. I don't want my music to ever be misunderstood for the world's music. Ever. When someone comes walking by my vehicle and they see it just banging and the vehicle's just buzzing, they don't think, boy, he must be just rocking out to Jesus in there. What do they think? Sounds like rock and roll. Boy, they got a big B. Is that rap music? What is that? You know what's happened is the devil has slid his music into the Christian music. Now we've got Christian rock. We've got Christian rap. We've got, Christian everything. Just throw Jesus into it and it's all good. Wake up. Wake up. Those are not the old wells. Those are not the old wells. Not even close to the old wells. Those are new ways. Those are new methods. Those are new wells that someone dug that were not the wells of our fathers. That were not the wells that God gave us. In 1980, a small church in Pennsylvania was nearly dead in attendance below 30, and the pastor decided to stop chasing trends and return to the old wells. Prayer, preaching, evangelism, whatever God laid on his heart, he decided, I'm just going to preach it. He started early morning prayer meetings. Families began gathering to read scripture at home. Hymns replaced entertainment. Slowly, hearts softened and revival broke out. Today, that church thrives not because they found a new well, but because they redug the old ones. See, God doesn't need our help to build Blessed Hope Baptist Church or to see great things happen here. All he wants you to do is obey. Obey his word. Just do what he's already told us to do. Do what he told Abraham to do. Do what he told Isaac to do. Do what he told Jacob to do. Do what he's told you to do as a Christian. Stop looking for something new. The old way is the way. The old book is still the book. We don't need a new book. We don't need new types of music. The old well, number three, the old well brings life. With this, I'm done. The old well that brings life. Go to verse number 19. It says, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. See, he didn't just find a well of water. He found a well of springing water. Isaac's persistence paid off. He found a well of springing water. But if you notice, every well he dug was contested. Go to verse number 19. Let's read them together. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And they removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You see, when you start doing things for the Lord, the enemy is going to be envious of you. They're going to be upset. They're going to fight you over things. It just happens. The world is not going to be happy. Other Christians are going to fight you over it. Man, I think of a young lady who I went to school with. She was my sister's age and just great kid. Went to college and, man, just a great girl. And all of a sudden, a friend got into her ear about reevaluating everything she believed. Just, you need to start over. Just question everything you've been taught. So what happened was she questioned everything, everyone, and then now what she wants to do is she wants to show us all of her new ways. All the things that she learned. And she goes to some church, that's supposedly a Baptist church, but on her, and she's faithful, she teaches Sunday school in this church, and you would never guess, if you looked up her Instagram, if you looked up her social media, if you saw any pictures of them, or listened to the music that they listened to in their home, country music, getting pictures with country western stars, saying, oh, I got to introduce my daughter to this country western music singer. And you're a Sunday school teacher? She teaches in the Christian school? What's going on? It didn't take very long. This church that she served in was at one point an independent fundamental Baptist church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just like us, stood for the same things. But it doesn't take very long. We start watching the ways of this world. Man, that looks great. Man, that looks good. Man, that looks easier. I'm going to start changing that. I'm going to start doing that in my life. Our church should start doing that. Why don't we change to do that way? And we get away from the old wells. We stop redigging them. What happened to Blessed Hope Baptist Church if we're not careful? It'll happen in your own personal life if you're not careful. The wells that bring life. Missionaries in Africa once dug a physical well in a drought-stricken village, and for years, this missionary came to our church and he told me this. He said, for years, the people had suffered thirst, and when the well hit water, the whole village gathered with joy and were excited, laughing, clapping, crying. Families brought their children to see it. And he said, as a missionary, when I saw that happen, he said, that's what revival looks like. People rejoicing with living water finally flowing. Boy, when the waters fall at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, aren't you thankful on Food Truck Sunday we had 200 and something visitors here and almost 50 people got saved? Amen. Hey, man! I don't know about you, but I didn't have any part of that. That was all him. We were just instruments used by him. I didn't bring all those people to church. God brought them to church. You know why? Because we're following the old wells. We're doing what God's called us to do. And when we keep doing what God's called us to do, God will bless your life. God will take care of you. Just like Isaac decided, hey, we're going to do what Grandpa did. We're going to do what he did and go back to the same wells because there was life there. Grandpa knew where the wells were. Are we going to pass it on to our children or are we not? Is it going to skip a generation? I believe I started our church at Regency for the young men of our church, especially the teenagers from 12 years old and up. I started Operation Elijah, and I met with all the men. The teenagers had no idea this was going on, but for 2 years, we had Operation Elijah, and every man in the church that wanted to be a part of it, we met, and I said, men, Elijah, before he left this earth, God asked him to do one thing. Go and train your replacement. Go and train Elisha. Go and invest into Elisha's life. Go tell him everything you learned along the way. Go teach him some wisdom. Go give him some help. Go encourage that young man. Go give him some advice. And Elisha saw double the portion of what Elijah saw in his life.
It's good.
Men, ladies in their church, it's our responsibility to show the young people where the old wells are at. Someone showed them to you. Someone helped you. Someone passed on truth to you. If we're not careful in our life, life just gets busy. Boy, we come to church, but we don't even look at the next younger generation. Well, they're not my kids. Man, I don't think I would be here today if it wasn't for the men of Regency Baptist Church investing into my life. Many times my dad couldn't be there when my dad was bedridden in a bed and my mom was having to do a lot. I needed a man in my life. I needed a man to teach me and help me in some things. There were so many men that I could name off today that they taught me certain things that my dad was not able to at certain times because of his health. But I'm thankful for men of God in our church, just laymen in a church that stepped up, showed me, backed up what my parents were teaching, backed up what the Bible was teaching. But you know what they did? They just showed me some common things in life. Ladies, men, you know, there's some things in just life in general, traits. Some of you are good at things. God's blessed you with a certain skill. Man, you can pass those things on. You know, when a kid gets to learn something from you, a teenager gets to learn something from you that God's blessed you with and you're really good at a certain trait, whether it's construction or driving a truck or working on a farm or different skills, building things that God has taught you, and you get to show another young person how to do that. Not only are you teaching them a good trait for their life, but you get opportunities to talk with them. Opportunities to back up what their parents are trying to help them with. You know, teenagers, a lot of times when they go through these teen years, the relationship with their parents, unfortunately, is more distant than any other time in their life. But God, just like He did in my life, and I'm sure others could testify to this, God used many other men in our church when I was growing up to help bring me back, mend my relationship with my parents. When I wanted to complain to them, Are you want to complain about that? Boy, I remember sometimes in a truck working with some of the men in the church and saying a couple things about my parents thinking they were going to agree with it and with what I was saying. And all of a sudden, man, they put me in my place real quick. Real quick. Made me look like an idiot because they showed me what the Bible says. They showed me, why do you think like that? You think that's going to work? You think that's better than what your parents told you about that situation? You might want to trust your parents. You don't have it all figured out, AJ. Man, I remember getting put in my place. Anybody ever been put in a place like that? All right, remember those days when you were a teenager? You know what? In the moment, I wasn't like, thank you. Man, that was, man, thank you for that. I love being put in my place. No. But you know what it caused a young man to do as a teenager, as a young man? Caused me to think. Caused me to sit back and question my way. My new way that I thought was better than the old way. The old well still works. The well of prayer still works. The well of the word still works. The well of holiness still works. The well of faith still works. The well of the gospel still works. The same God who blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the same God that you serve today. Is that the God who you serve? Say amen tonight. Amen. That's the God you serve tonight. Then serve Him like the wells still work. Come to church like the wells still work. Come to church like souls still get saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come to church and sing like you mean what you're singing. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I get to sit up here and I get to watch people, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I love watching certain people in church. And they just, some of you just love singing. I don't even know if you're a good singer or not, but I can tell you love singing. And I just see it on your smile. I see you thinking about the words in church. I see you look up and you just think about a certain song or certain songs I can tell that hit certain people. Like, man, that song means so much to me. Man, I love that kind of spirit in somebody. Do you let music speak to you, the right kind of music? We don't need the new. We just need to get back and redig the old wells tonight. Last verse, and I'm done. Thus, Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for the old ways. Thank you so much for the old wells. Thank you so much for our pastor who had a great theme last year, Lord. Give me old time religion, Lord. I know what you did back then is still going to happen today, and it can happen. And we are instruments at Blessed Soul Baptist Church that can be used for you. What you did on Food Truck Sunday, Lord, nothing new was done. We didn't have to compromise. We didn't have to change. We still preached the same gospel. We still preached from the same word of God. We still picked people up on buses, Lord. We didn't do anything different, Lord. We just wanted to serve you with our life because that's what you've told us to do. Lord, I'm thankful for the blessings that we've seen you do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the new people that have been coming to church recently, Lord. I pray that we would not get away from what you've already shown us all throughout Scripture, what you've blessed. What you have blessed back then, you can still bless today. We hear stories all the time of great churches and great ministries and great preachers of the past and how you worked in their lives and in their churches. Lord, it's still available to us today. We don't need the new way. We don't need to go with the way of all these other churches and the ways of all these other Christians that are compromising and becoming more and more liberal, Lord. Our church is going to hell in a handbasket. Lord, I pray that we would just have some Christians at Blessed Little Baptist Church that just strive for the old paths.